The light of God is shining again, dispelling the darkness in the hearts of men, turning their night season into their morning, converting their wilderness places into blossoming gardens, and their arid lawns into gushing brooks of living waters. This is the day of the manifestation of the sons of the living God. And for this cause, the Lord is pouring out His mighty Spirit upon all flesh, causing them to see dreams and visions, and give them a crystal clear understanding of the mystery of the ages, which is the Christ in you. This recording is a message from Trevor Igaga, an anointed servant of God, called to preach the sacred mystery of Christ and to unveil His glorious realm of unconditional love and bliss before all men. As you embrace this message from on high, receive hundredfold restoration of everything that the caterpillar and the conker worm have devoured in your precious life. Let your health speed forth speedily, and the joy of your salvation overflow like great torrents of water. For more free messages, do visit our website at www.sunrayministry.org or contact us on info@sunrayministry.org. May the God of peace and love keep you.
Hallelujah, hallelujah, hallelujah. Praise God. You know, the greatest obstacle between man and God's kingdom is the concept of ourselves, what we think we are. The identity that we bear as men in this physical world is actually the obstacle between man and God. It simply serves as a barrier between man and his portion in God's paradise. Is our human selves, what we think we are, the idea or the ideologies that have formulated us upon this earth, in this life that we live in. And Jesus Christ made one statement clear, a clear statement. He says, anyone that loves himself or his own life more than me, more than I, the Christ, is not worthy of me. In other words, anyone who loves his life or holds on to his life is not worthy of the eternal life that is being revealed to us this day by the Spirit of grace. All the tribulation, all the pain, all the sorrow, hell and death, and everything a man goes through is simply a result of the false identity in which he walks in. Hallelujah. That false identity is what we call the man of sin. The man of sin. See, it's actually a creation, a man that is formulated out of the, you know, the various reasonings of this age, this dark age that we live in. Is a man that is not known of God. A terrestrial man who appears for a moment and, you know, tries to act as God, but is not God. And he does not know God. This one lives in tribulation and he never understands what life is. Praise God, yes, we are born into this world. Somebody says it's white, somebody says it's black. Somebody says he has this name, he has this belief, he has this tradition. And you see that the things that we came in contact with in this world actually shaped up our lives, formulated our lives. So look back and you see somebody who is very hot-tempered, impatient. Look back and, you know, study the guy's history. You will discover that it was this ideologies that he came in contact with that, you know, shaped him out to be the way he is. A thief, a robber, a murderer, a gossip. You just look at that person. People will nag. Go back and look at their background. You discover that they were formulated, they were shaped to be what they are because of the things that they came in contact with in this world. First of all, when you are born, the first thing that you normally, if everything goes well, you know, the first thing you see is your dad and your mother, isn't it? Your mother first, isn't it? I remember when my son was born, the eyes were still closed, and the moment he heard the voice of the mother, he was still just born, and the moment he heard the voice of the mother, I could see the eyes were moving to come and to see who is this, because obviously he has been hearing that voice when he was in the womb. So I observed that he tried to open the eyes to see who is that, because he recognized that voice, and from that moment that voice became the guiding voice, and that will influence that child to some extent in this life. Praise God. So all kind of external forces, all kind of external, you know, spirits of this age have kind of shaped us one way or the other to be what we are as men. Praise God. And somehow we have become creatures that have, you know, become slaves to a dimension that is, you know, governed by parameters of time, space, and all that kind of stuff. And God says that as long as we live in that dimension, we are actually limited. We are actually cut off from that boundless life that is the life of the Son of God. See, beyond all this, there is life, there is joy, there is peace, there is love. See, glorious liberty of the sons of God does not mean that you just fly up one day with a cape, Superman cape on your wing, on your back, and performing miracles and doing all that. No. See, I've seen many people who do good works, great works, external works, who themselves are troubled, where things are even going out of order in their own lives. They don't experience the peace. They don't experience the joy of the salvation of the Lord. They don't experience the all power working within them, yet they do outward demonstrations. I've met such people. Praise God. The Son of God, first of all, is the one who can realize that boundless life of joy, peace, all power. Praise God, coming to a place of stillness, hallelujah, a place where there are strings, melody in the heart, where everything ministers to you, hallelujah, a place of love, love and love, where you don't want to hurt anybody, anyone, where you don't want to do anything, that is, you become enveloped in love. You know it, you feel it, you feel that love beat in you. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. No more struggle for the beggarly elements of this world, struggle for the vainglories of this world. But right now, you sit in Christ in heavenly places, knowing that all things have been delivered unto you, hallelujah. It's an exalted realm, an exalted dimension that it breaks beyond time and space, breaks beyond the appearances of this age, hallelujah. It's a consciousness of pure spirit, hallelujah. The glorious liberty of the sons of God, free to fly like a butterfly in the heavens. No more that limited life of the caterpillar, that vulnerable, weak, inglorious life of the caterpillar, but now you shower in the heavens with your multicolored wings, a new creature. Praise God. And that new creature in reality is a creature that has always been, but for a moment, that creature was trapped in a false sense of body, in a false sense of being. It was trapped in a cocoon, in a container, for a moment. Oh, praise God, hallelujah. Thank God, because the moment has come when the caterpillar will begin to be still as he enters into another stage. It begins to be still, and as it is still, there is a new creature. Oh, hallelujah. That creature that is within begins to awake. Hallelujah. It begins to recollect itself, and so that it can pierce through that cocoon, that outer shell that has bound him to the beggarly elements of this world, and fly into the heavens. Hallelujah. So we can see that the thing that has limited us, has made man miserable all these years, is the false feeling of I, the false feeling of what he thinks he is, the mistaken identity he has walked in. Oh, praise God. And I tell you, men love their lives more than God. Your life as a man is your God when you walk in ignorance. You know that? Men love their lives more than anything. They fall in love with what they think their life is upon the earth. But they are blinded from the fact that that life is inglorious. That life is death. That life cannot endure forever. Praise God. That life will be taken away in due season. Men are blinded, and what they do, they try to glorify the body. They try to love the body. They try to keep it eternally. They try to immortalize it. Praise God. They try to, you know, make that body incorruptible. The kings of Egypt, the great kings of Egypt, the pharaohs of years past, great kings of other civilizations who had the resources, you could see that they wanted to immortalize themselves. They were always thinking that in that state they could continue on in eternity. That is why they will, you know, speak to the high priests, and the high priest would deceive them into thinking that if they make gold chambers, gold caskets, you know, if they embalm their bodies and all that kind of stuff, they can still use those bodies and, you know, live forever. They thought that that was their body. They thought that that was their life. And I tell you, it's easy to point fingers, but in reality, as men, we have all loved our lives as men. Praise God. But Jesus Christ says one thing clearly. You must lose that thing that you call your life. You must let it go to live. Praise God. We must let that life go to live. Hallelujah. He that loves himself more than me, more than I, the Christ, is not worthy of the kingdom. Praise God. When the psalmist prays that the Lord, you know, turns his eyes away from idols, what do you think these idols are? It's yourself. That is the number one devil. That is the number one idol in your life. It's yourself, your human self. Praise God. The eyes have to be turned away so that we can behold the true eternal life, the life that is forever. Hallelujah. When Stephen, in the book of Acts, was being stoned to death, you know, something happened. See, people from the outward public think, oh, Stephen was dying, oh, Stephen was being killed. But in reality, what happened at the moment Stephen was being stoned to death is a glorious experience that very few ever have. Praise God. Oh yes, he was dying in the body. Oh yes, the outer body was going. But his eyes were open to behold the King seated in glory. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And I tell you, when you begin to behold the King seated in glory, in heavenly places, upon the throne, you are not seeing something apart from the true life, that eternal life that Christ has come to reveal today. Hallelujah. If you see the Lord, you will know for sure that that is life eternal. And you will know that you are an integral part of Him. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. See, the thing that we hold on to as our life is not our life. Praise God. Let the eyes be open to see the one that lives forever. Hallelujah. Job says that, yes, at the end of days, in this flesh will I see the Lord. Praise God. In this flesh will I see, in this body will I see the Lord. Every man must have this experience. Every man must awake to behold the beauty of the endless life. And that is the life that Jesus Christ came to present to us through the gospel, so that we can live forever. Hallelujah. All the concepts of life, all the concepts that we have built upon the earth, is no life at all. Praise God. We must come to the place where, like Jesus, we pick up our cross and we say bye-bye to the life of the flesh. Because the things that you see are temporal, they are passing away. Praise God. But there is a life that is eternal that is being presented to us today. Hallelujah. Everything we work with, the things we work in relation to as men, they are but idols. You know what idols are? Idols look real. Idols look, you know, as something that has substance, life in them, but they are not nothing. Our concept of family, our concepts of marriage, our concepts of, different concepts of relations, of nations, ideologies as men upon the earth have no eternal value. You can try to preserve it as long as you are. You can try to make a good will and make your will whatever, secure for whatever, but you discover at the end of the day that all things, the earth and the fullness, belongs to what? The Lord. There's only one who owns all things and inherits all things, and that is the Lord. See, you can put your money in bonds or in whatever, do whatever you want. Keep it how you want to keep it, but you will discover at the end of the day that the earth and the fullness thereof belongs to what? To the Lord. Hallelujah. So we better hold on to eternal life. You don't want to wake up to discover one day that you have nothing. Praise God. Hallelujah. You don't want to discover one day that, you know, all your toiling and all your labor and all your fatigue, both in the religious and non-religious realm, is all in vain. Praise God. You don't want to wake up one day and just discover, you know, that you have nothing, that you are actually a miserable and wretched person. Let us hold on to life in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Right from the days of old, God has been trying to communicate to man. See, God always speaks. You know that? His voice never changes. But it's how we can perceive the voice of God that will make us or destroy us. You know that? It's how we can perceive the voice of God that will establish us in His kingdom. God is always speaking. Hallelujah. God is always speaking. It was the same God that spoke to Abraham. It was the same God that spoke to Noah. It was the same God that spoke to Moses. It was the same God that is always speaking. But it's how you can receive these words that matters. That's why it says, mind how you hear. Jesus Christ says, mind how you hear. You can either hear what the Spirit is saying, or what your mind, your carnal mind as a man, is saying. See, like a brother of ours shared the other day, Brother Jonas, he says, he who has an ear, let him hear what the Spirit says to the church. An ear, you can see that that's a single ear to hear the voice of the Spirit of God. So you can see Abraham actually heard the voice. Amen. Noah, Lot, Moses. They were actually hearing God, but they were not hearing God with that single ear, with that ear of the Spirit. See, that's why Moses went out to form all the kind of religious moves, you know. You have to do this, you know, shed blood here, shed blood and all that. And what, you can't get to God with blood or sacrifice, or all those things are just rituals. And these things are today also in the church. You just observe the settings in the systems of religion. All spheres of religion, the procedures of men. The thing that somehow you can kind of get to God through various acts, through various orderly arrangements upon the earth. Somebody says you pray this way, you know, you walk this way. You see, have you seen a priest walking down the aisle to the altar? You begin to laugh. All these are actors. Actors, you see the big choir at the corner there, and they're all singing. And you know, what are they singing to? Who are they crying to? See, there are all kind of, you know, recitations and all religion thinking to get to God one way or another. Baptisms, laying of hands, and all these things are just concepts of men who have not been listening to what the Spirit is saying to the church. You are the church. The church is the body of Christ. You see, but that same church, you can see that the voice is going out to the church that is dispersed upon the earth to gather them once more back to their place and their glory in God. He wants to gather you back to that throne. He wants to restore your light garments. See it. He wants to restore your place, you know, in the New Jerusalem. He wants to restore that name that you lost. He wants to, you know, give you access once more to the tree of life in the midst of the garden. Praise God. It's all that glorious life that God wants to restore to us. See, but as long as we live in the flesh, walk in the flesh, see it, identifying each other according to the flesh, looking unto outer appearances, how can we find God's kingdom? It's impossible. Hallelujah. We're going to read something about Abraham. Abraham heard the voice of God. The voice of God that came to order Abraham to sacrifice Isaac. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We all know the story. Abraham, after waiting for so long to have a child, Isaac, finally he came forth with a child called Isaac. Only for the Lord to tell him to take the child onto a high mountain to sacrifice that child. Let's read this in Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham. And he said, Behold, I'm here. And he said, Take now thy son, thy only son, whom thou lovest, and get thee into the land of Moriah, and offer him there for a burnt offering upon one of the mountains which I will tell thee of. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. And Abraham rose up early in the morning and saddled his horse and took two young men with him and Isaac his son and cleared the wood for the burnt offering and rose up and went unto the place of which God had told him. Then on the third day, Abraham lifted up his eyes and saw the place afar off. And Abraham said unto his young men, Abide here with the ass, and I and the lad will go yonder and worship, and come again to you. And Abraham took the wood of the burnt offering and laid it upon Isaac his son, and he took the fire in his hand and a knife, and he went both of them together. And Isaac spake unto Abraham his father and said, My father. And he said, Here I am, my son. And he said, Behold the fire and the wood, but where is the lamb for the burnt offering? And Isaac said, My son, God will provide himself a lamb for the burnt offerings. So they went both of them together, and they came to the place which God had told him of. And Abraham built an altar there, and took the wood in order, and laid the wood in order, and bound Isaac his son, and laid him on the altar upon the wood. And Abraham stretched forth his hand, and took the knife to slay his son. Praise God. And the angel of the Lord cried out unto him out of heaven and said, Abraham, Abraham. And he said, Here I am. And he said, Lay not thy hand upon the lad, neither do anything unto him. For now I know that thou fearest God, seeing that thou hast not withheld thy son, thy only son, from me. Abraham lifted up his eyes and looked, and behold, behind him a ram caught in a thicket by its horns. And Abraham went and took the ram and offered him on, you know, for a burnt offering in the stead of his son. And Abraham named the place Jehovah Jireh, as it is said to this day, In the mount of the Lord it shall be seen. Hallelujah. And the angel of the Lord called unto Abraham out of heaven the second time, and said, By myself have I sworn, said the Lord, for behold, thou hast done this thing, and hast not withheld thy son, thy only son. Hallelujah. That in blessing I will bless thee, in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the sandshore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of thy enemies, and in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. Praise God. But did Abraham obey the voice of God? Did Abraham hear the voice of God? He heard the voice of God in a distorted manner. Praise God. Abraham was, these were men who did not truly hear the voice of the Spirit. Praise God. See, Abraham had heard the voice to sacrifice his only son, and he went forth willingly. A man of faith went forth willingly to let go, knowing that God was able to raise back that son into life. Hallelujah. He knew that God was able to raise back that son into life. He knew that God, with God, all things are possible. And he obeyed the voice to sacrifice that son, Isaac, a son that he had waited all his life for. Here is Abraham, who was in his 90s. And he had waited for that seed of promise for all his life, but it was not come from. It was not forthcoming until the later years of his life. And what happens? Abraham takes his son to sacrifice, his only son. You know, till today, these things are still being done all over the world. Various religions think that somehow you can kind of appease God. See, by doing such acts, extremist acts. Some say that they become martyrs, they commit suicide. It's the same thing. For the cause of God, somebody takes up a bomb and goes in front of somewhere and blows himself up, and he says it's God. He's doing it for God, as a sacrifice for God. And maybe somehow, you know, his sacrifice is pleasing to God. That he has lost his only life to please that God, that terrible God somewhere in the sky. Now this is the mindset of all men. We've always looked at God as some kind of, you know, bloodthirsty, terrible God. So we just have to appease one way or the other to calm him down. We must use blood and all that. And we do these things in various ways. Some people subject their bodies to fasting. thinking that they can, you know, get to God by not eating for years, for days and weeks. You know, different kind of things that people do, thinking that they can get to God that way. Praise God. Abraham had not heard the true God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. Abraham did not hear the voice properly. See, that voice was there quite alright, but he didn't hear it the right way. So he was not listening with the ear of the Spirit to hear what the Spirit is saying to the church. Hallelujah. Because that same voice is here today. You know that? That same voice is here today. And God is telling every man to sacrifice his life. That thing that you call your life upon the earth. That thing that you've held on to so tenaciously. That thing that you have loved above all. Your human life. Your terrestrial life. God is saying that we must let go of that life. Praise God. We must let go of all that life. We must sacrifice that life on the cross. That is the only way back to the unlimited blessings that we lost in Adam. Praise God. You can hear that voice today. All these messages that we've been hearing over the years, it is the Lord speaking to you to by faith recognize that life, that boundless life upon the everlasting hills. Praise God. Like Abraham, every man must ascend that mountain. And the higher you go, the less human you become. Because human beings inhabit the earth, the lower places of the earth. But that which inhabits the higher places, that is the elevated places in heaven, is God. That's God's kingdom. That is God's world. That is the realm of God's dear Son. So that life that you've loved, that life that you think is your only life, God is saying today that that is your problem. See, your terrestrial life, your human life. See, there must be a redemption from the earth. See, he has come to redeem us from the earth. See, and gather us back into himself upon the everlasting hills. He has come to redeem us. Oh, hallelujah. The book of Revelation, chapter 11 and chapter 14 speaks about a company of people who have been redeemed from the earth. And they stand upon Mount Zion. Mount Zion is the elevated peak. You can call that Mount Moriah, where Abraham took his son to be sacrificed. We must ascend high, that high mountain, by faith. Let the voice of the Spirit guide us out of our human life. Guide us out of the falsity of life in the flesh. To rediscover that boundless life upon the everlasting hills. Upon Mount Zion, John had seen a company of the redeemed. Those who are redeemed from the earth. There are no more human beings. There are no more terrestrial creatures. There are no more mortals. There are no more creatures who live according to the parameters of time and space. They live according to another wisdom. The wisdom of the Father. They were led up there by the lamp. The lamp of God. Is the guiding spirit of God, the anointing within us, deposited in us to guide us into all truths. Praise God. Is the spirit in us to guide us into the ages to come in Christ. These 144,000 had new names upon their heads. Speaking of a rebirth, new creatures. Walking in the name of the Father. They had the Father's name upon their head. Walking in the name of God. Jesus walked in the name of God. Paul walked in the name of God. It's no longer I, but Christ. See it? And if you see Christ, you have seen the Father. You have seen God manifesting himself in the world. Oh, praise God. Hallelujah. We must let go of our human lives as we hear the voice of the Spirit. This is what the Spirit is saying today. In our meditations, in our prayers, in moments of stillness, let us hear this voice. Hallelujah. To escape the misery, to escape the pain, to escape all the horrors of humanity, we must allow the Spirit guide us up once more. Hallelujah. Praise God. Let us not think that by letting blood, see it, let us not think by our religious acts upon the earth. Let us not think by, you know, our righteous acts or whatever can we ever gain the things of God. We can't have access to God no matter what we do as men. We can only have access to God as we recognize the truth. Hallelujah. As we allow the Spirit guide us upon Mount Zion. Hallelujah. So we can see here that Abraham takes his son to do the sacrifice, and at the end of the day he was told not to touch the son, and a ram was, you know, presented, you know, divinely, you know, presented to him to do the sacrifice. And at the end of the day we see how that God commanded the blessings. Hallelujah. The blessings upon Abraham. Praise God. Now all these are shadows because Abraham really never partook of that blessing. Let us read this blessing together. Genesis chapter 22, verse 17. That is, in blessing I will bless thee, and in multiplying I will multiply thy seed as the stars of what? Of heaven, and as the sand which is upon the seashore, and thy seed shall possess the gates of what? Of his enemies. And in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed, because thou hast obeyed my voice. Hallelujah. Are you obeying the voice of God? Are you obeying the voice of the trumpet? This is the voice in this hour gathering the people. Hallelujah. Gathering the people from the earth. See, he says at the last trumpet, the dead will rise. Hallelujah. And they rise to that cloud which Jesus demonstrated upon the mountain of transfiguration. It's a glory cloud. See, that is the glory that we all lost in Adam. The glory is Christ itself. The glory is the embodiment of God. Hallelujah. Because in that cloud dwells the fullness of God. Amen. Now these things that we are preaching are very important. These are the highest things to ever hear. These are the things that we must meditate on day and night. See, mark my word, every other thing will leave you. What your cares upon the earth, those things that are so important to us as men, they will vanish. They will disappear. You will look for them, you will not find them again. See, but there's one thing that will remain. That message we are preaching today, that endless life that we are hearing being testified today from heaven. Hallelujah. In blessing I will bless thee because you have obeyed my voice. How do we obey the voice of the Lord? We don't obey the voice of the Lord by letting blood today. We don't obey the voice of the Lord by going to some kind of physical mountain somewhere. We don't obey the voice of the Lord by doing acts of religion or becoming more religious before men. We obey the voice of the Lord by allowing the Spirit lead us back into Christ. By allowing the Spirit lead us out of the illusion of our human terrestrial lives back into the life of what? Of the Spirit. See, and the Lord is the Spirit. The Spirit is the Lord. Hallelujah. The Lord is the Spirit. Hallelujah. We must exercise ourselves once more to walk in the Spirit. Hallelujah. Those that are led by the Spirit are the sons of God. Hallelujah. We no longer walk in the flesh, but in the Spirit. Hallelujah. We have recognized the life that is in the Spirit. We have recognized the life that is in the invisible. Oh, hallelujah. We are beginning to recognize the truth about our identities, because we are not flesh and blood. Are you listening? See, the one that stands upon Mount Zion is not flesh and blood, because flesh and blood cannot inherit God's kingdom. Praise God. There must be a rebirth. Hallelujah. There must be a renewing of the minds, the thought faculties, the way we have thought, the way we have perceived things. There must be a change as we allow the Spirit guide us into all truth. Hallelujah. Praise God. Very important. You are hearing things that have been hidden from the foundation of the world. That which stands upon Mount Zion is Spirit. Hallelujah. If we lay down our lives, we will gain it in the world to come. Our life here is the old Isaac. The Isaac here is our old life of the flesh. If we let go of that life, we are going to gain the new life, which is the Christ. Hallelujah. The Christ, the Son of the living God. Hallelujah. Remember that all the blessings of God to Abraham was always directed to the seed. It says, in your seed shall all the nations of the earth best. It says that your seed shall possess the gates of your enemies. Now, what are the gates of your enemies today? Have you heard of the gates of hell? Praise God. The gates of hell. Jesus Christ says that the gates of hell shall not what prevail against you. Oh, praise God. The gates of hell shall not what shall not prevail against you. Against you who? You who have understood the mystery of Christ. You who have heard the voice of the Father. Who do men say that I am? Who do men say that I am? You are the Christ, the Son of the living God. You are not a mortal being. You are not a creature of the dust. You are the Christ who has been from eternity, the Son of the living God. And Jesus Christ says, upon this revelation, which has been given to you by the Father from above, because flesh and blood does not have this revelation, upon this revelation will I build my church, and the gates of hell shall not prevail over it. You shall possess what? The gates of your enemies. This was what God was telling Abraham years ago, but Abraham didn't understand it. You know, in those days when you have gates, every city, kingdom had their gates. See it? When you possess the gate of your enemies, it means that you have overcome that kingdom. Praise God. All over city, all over Italy today, all over Italy. You know, I migrated to Italy. And Italy is a very wonderful land. And you see virtually all over the land, all over every city you go to, you have an ancient city, monumental city, where you normally have the gates. See it? And those gates were very fortified gates. Strong gates. See, to conquer that city, you must take over that gate. And normally upon the gates, you see where you have the soldiers will normally stay upon those gates, where they throw rocks, spears, you know, and all kind of, you know, they use it normally, it's normally very fortified. So to overcome a gate and to capture a gate, it means that you have had that kingdom under your subjection. See, but if a kingdom comes to overcome your own gates, that kingdom has prevailed over you, and you must submit to that kingdom. Praise God. Today, the gates of hell, you know, and death, we prevail over it through the revelation of Christ. See, God blessed Abraham, says that he shall be fruitful. Praise God. And in his seed shall all the nations of the earth best. His seed shall be many waters. What is fruitfulness today? You see, you cannot be fruitful except by the Spirit. Have you heard of the fruit of the Spirit? The joy, the peace, the power. Fruitfulness is only by the Spirit. No man can know true fruitfulness. If you like, you can be in the White House and think that you have all the power in the world, but you cannot have the fruit of the Spirit except by Christ. Your money cannot get you the fruit of the Spirit. Your achievements in the natural realm cannot get you the fruit of the Spirit. That which will get you the fruit of the Spirit is the revelation of the Christ in you. Not just the revelation, but allowing the Spirit lead you high to that high mountain like Abraham. You must let go of our lives as human beings to lay hold on that true eternal life, which is Christ. So what will be your prayer today? Your prayer will be, God, turn away my eyes from lies. Let me receive this pure, undiluted truth from above. Hallelujah. Praise God. Praise God. Let that contaminated mind, that mind that has been fixed on idols, be lifted up to behold the one that lives forever. Praise God. Let us go higher, higher into the things of the Spirit. See, no more recognizing any man according to the flesh. No more recognizing life according to the flesh. No more seeing life according to the flesh. Hallelujah. But walking by the Spirit, by the pure revelation light of God, then things become beautiful once more. Then we can rediscover the peace, the joy, the love, the power, the glory, the riches forevermore. Hallelujah. Praise God. So God has not asked for sacrifice. See it. He has not asked for these things that we do as men. Rather, He has given us today a body, the revelation of the body of Christ, so that we can be partakers of the same by revelation. Let us receive this free gift and reign in life, because we are accepted among the beloved. We are in that body. He has given us a body. He has given us an incorruptible, eternal body that we can walk in, have our being. Hallelujah. This is our inheritance forever. Hallelujah. And in this inheritance, we see fruitfulness. In this inheritance, we have the victory over the devil, over the powers of death, over the powers of hell. Hallelujah. And nothing of the evil one can touch us. Hallelujah. Oh, thank you, Father, today because of this word. Hallelujah. To you be all the glory. Hallelujah. The kingdom, the power, the glory belongs to you. We call upon you. Hallelujah. We call upon you this hour. Hallelujah. Blessed be your name. Lift us up. Lift us up by your Spirit. Oh, hallelujah. Oh, hallelujah. Strengthen your people. Oh, hallelujah. Lay. Hallelujah. 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 Let these words go forth to break yokes. Let people who are, you know, trapped in prison houses of, you know, human reasonings be set free. Let those who are trapped, you know, false religious beliefs, thinking they can get to God through religion, be released from that deceit in the name of Jesus. Let every man come to the revelation of the Christ within. Let every man awaken to this truth. Let every man allow the Spirit guide him back to that high spiritual elevation, that realm of the Spirit, that life in the Spirit. It is so in the name of Jesus. Father, we thank you. Amen. 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 Amen, amen, amen. So the Lord showed you something you want to share with the brethren while we're praying or while we're sharing the word.
Praise the Lord. As we're sharing the word, I saw a long table. It was described the type of table when Jesus was talking with the disciples.
When he had the last supper.
When he had the last supper
with the disciples. Okay.
That's the word the Lord showed.
Amen. So, hallelujah. So what we've just done today is we were around that table communing with the word, communing with the Lord himself, praise God. And when you feast on this table, what happens is that the Lord brings remembrance of the Christ in you. Amen. Do this in remembrance of me, was the word of the Lord. Amen. It's not just a physical taking of bread. It's not just, it has got nothing to do with what church calls communion today. Rather, it is fellowship in the Spirit. See it. Our fellowship is with the Father and with the Son. And in reality, as we fellowship with the Father, He raises us up back into the awareness or the consciousness of the Son of God that we are. Hallelujah. Let this revelation lead you into your victory. Amen. Amen.
Hallelujah. Bye. For my